I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us right now on the CenterPoint Energy Home Service Plus hotline, Dana Kicker, former Boston Red Sox. I know him as a former Cardinal back in the day at Fairfax, and he's now coaching some at the college level, and always fun to talk baseball with him and much more. Dana, how are you doing? How are you holding out through all this?
Oh, wonderful. I work at a couple golf courses, so I was excited to see that, from at least from a maintenance standpoint, hopefully next week I can get out of the house and do some things. I'm being a good citizen and trying to stay at home as much as possible, Mike.
You're successfully retired from UPS, but still with a lot of energy and a lot left to give, but I think you enjoy this. Have you enjoyed this part, refereeing, coaching, golf course, all that's gone with retirement?
Well, absolutely, and giving back to the kids at the high school level as a basketball official, although at times, you know, it can test your nerves a little bit. I think it's all about the kids. And, we need more officials. You've done shows on that, and you've also done the shows on, you know, how fans and coaches and sometimes players are making it more challenging for high school officials. But it's a special group, and I always said athletics would be nothing, because in baseball, if you don't have umpires, you really can't play, and it holds the same for every sport that you have out there. So without them, sports wouldn't exist.
The Cook brothers could call a game back in the day, couldn't they?
Oh, boy, especially when I was pitching, and I could put that fastball, about one baseball below the knees against the Steinbach, and I'd get a called strike on.
You know, I was visiting with Kirby Puckett's son and daughter today, and you know, some of his stuff's going up for auction now. What do you remember about facing Kirby Puckett as a pitcher?
I remember him hitting a double off the baggie at the Metrodome against me, and the pitch, and I'm not exaggerating, was not litter high, it was like shoulder high. And, you know, they always talked about him being a free swinger. The thing I loved about Puck is that, you know, if every hitter was like Kirby Puckett, baseball games would be 2 hours and 15 minutes
That's
long.
That's right.
Because he was up there swinging, and as a pitcher, if you're throwing strikes, you know, you're going to have some contact. And even with Kirby Puckett up there 7 out of 10 times, I like my chances of getting him out. But I don't know if you'll ever see anybody like him. He had enthusiasm like never before. And what's sad, you talked about, I'm coaching. So I'm my third year as a pitching coach at Dakota County Technical College in Rosemount, which I'm surprised very few people know about it, but more and more have, because Matt Urzar, the head coach, has just done a fabulous job in turning that program into a legitimate baseball program, the only Division II junior college in Minnesota. And last year, coming off a record 33 wins, and we were going to eclipse that this year. We were 6 games done, 5-1 down in the Florida trip, and then got the call like so many schools did, where a couple days later the season was canceled. But everybody's coming back, or everybody can come back.
Oh, yeah, so they gave the junior college the second year, huh?
Exactly. So freshmen, I mean, didn't lose a year of eligibility. A lot of our sophomores are moving on to, you know, 4-year programs and everything, and with the cost of school nowadays, it would be really hard to kind of sit back and, you know, absorb another year of tuition just to play baseball. But we got a good crop coming in. But it's just been exciting. It keeps me young. It keeps me around the game. And You're no different than I am. We always kind of feel when we were involved in athletics that we owe it to give something back, and it gives me an opportunity to do so. But I bring up Kirby Puckett, and these kids, they've heard of him, of course.
Yeah.
But you'd be surprised. Well, Roger Clemens, who, and everything. So,
Yeah, I mean, he was doing his thing before they were born. That simple,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. So it shows my age. I guess I really am close to 60, but still have fun with that, and the kids seem to enjoy it. And as long as Matt Urzar keeps me around, we'll keep doing it for a few more years here.
How hard, what's the minimum that a kid needs to throw to get people out in college before you can work with him on his control and you know, learning how to pitch and all those things? What's the minimum threshold that they have to have before they can become a pitcher?
Well, how do I put it this way? How hard did you throw?
Not hard.
I could make you successful.
How?
Well, you're going to hear that and nowadays, and this is what's been the big not a challenge, but change for me. But it's hard to get out and see these kids. And what's amazed me most, I guess, at the college level is when these kids are like sophomores, because they're playing in all these summer leagues and you've got these MASH teams and Miller's teams and all these, you know, select baseball teams that travel all over the country. It's amazing how many people know about them. And I think you're seeing that in all of sports. You know, I've heard you talk about the University of Minnesota. Just look at the basketball talent in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And we all are fans of the hometown team. We'd hope that they all would stay here, but very few do. And it's just because of the exposure that they get. Well, it's really no different in baseball. It's probably, I mean, most of the top high school kids that are coming out, John Anderson may pluck one or two of them, but they're going to prestigious programs down in the South because they're playing year-round. So with this PBR and video, and you can see guys, and it's just amazing, I mean, what that reach is. And I know we're going to talk about this a little bit. Right now, we're using some of that same technology to stay engaged with our players and to keep them working in anticipation that maybe there'll be, you know, a season or baseball for them to play here in the summer to continue to hone their skills.
So, you know, you mentioned it, and there are a lot of good baseball players that don't get seen in this state and that fly under the radar because they're late bloomers. But when you look at all the programs that are available to kids to develop now year-round, you mentioned it, the Blizzard and beyond, would you have been a much better pitcher had you had access to all those, or did you develop the right way because you kind of just followed your older brother and you played long catch and you went after it? Would you have arrived at the same place at the same time either way?
I don't, I'm going to say the latter, and I'm a proponent of that, because during your formative development years, which are generally from 15 to like 19, when you're growing the most, and you know, the tendons in your arm are most vulnerable, in your knee. I mean, you're seeing all. But the sad thing is when you see a kid come out of high school and go to college and you played at that level, it's an exciting time. You step up and you want to prove yourself that you can compete at this level. And it really is a test of how good are you, you know, when you get to that level. But you're seeing him have Tommy John surgery. I wouldn't wish that upon anybody.
Yeah, I don't know how you can avoid that, Dana, if you play year-round baseball as a pitcher. I mean, this is my opinion. I don't know this, but it seems to me it's really hard that you only got so much tread on that tire. That's the way it seems to me. Can it be done if it's done properly? I don't know.
I would say that the chances for injury are much higher when you're doing that same repetitive thing over and over and over again. And it's not just your right arm or left arm. I'm a year away from 60, and I enjoy golf during my retirement right now, and I enjoy walking when I golf. And last basketball season, not this last winter, but the winter before, I picked up some plantar fasciitis that just finally went away, and it caused me to have some hip pain. And you know all about hip pain and foot pain and going and hunting and everything. And I'm sitting here saying, man, I don't want a hip replacement. But if you look at what a pitcher, I've done it millions
every
of times,
pitch, right?
Yeah, I mean, over and over, I would think that sooner or later it's going to happen. But I'm like you. If it's football or lacrosse or whatever, you know, in the fall and in basketball or hockey or whatever sports you have or activity in the winter, and then, you know, you have baseball, track and field. To me, I think that's what develops a better athlete overall, instead of that same repetition over and over again. But you don't see it. You see the specialization. It's very rare to see a Jalen Suggs who can. He doesn't play baseball. I'm guessing he could, but you know,
wins Mr. Football, Mr. Basketball, and yeah. He plays a position where he hits a lot too in football. You know.
And you got to wonder, when does a kid go to school? Because
everything's marquee, and you know,
the country and playing and everything. Maybe it's independent study. I'm not sure. Yeah.
Now they're talking about Major League Baseball playing in Arizona as a possibility. No fans, but how does that strike you as a former Major League Baseball player?
It'll be just like playing in the Florida State League in 1985, back when I was in Class A ball. And I say that tongue in cheek because baseball fans that follow the major league team in spring training only see these packed stadiums. And most of the folks, and I'm sure it's no different down in Arizona, I never played in Arizona for spring training, but I can't see it being any different. It's hot. Most of the residents are retirees, senior citizens. And if we got 100 fans to a game, in the Florida State League during the summer, that was like a big crowd.
Okay.
So and you learn to adapt with it. Interesting story I'm going to tell you real quick. So there was a local lumber yard, and it was fairly prevalent down, and I can't remember the name of it right now, in Winter Haven, where spring training was. And I happened to be pitching one night, and it was free yardstick giveaway. And the starting pitcher gets there like, you know, an hour before the game, and I go through my ritual, and I go in the bullpen, and I warm up, and I look up, and there's like 1,500 fans there. I said, this is like the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty good game, and I'm winning, and I think it's like 1-0 or 2-1. You know, it's a good, crisp, well-played game, and after the fifth inning, you're in the dugout doing your thing, and you go back out, and I look around, and there was 100 fans there, and then I kind of figured it out. Well, it was 9 o'clock, so what do most retirees or older folks do at 9 o'clock? They went home, they got their yardstick, and they went to bed. So in those leagues, there's very few fans that really support it. So,
but you also, it doesn't change. I mean, it's nice to have external motivation, but your point is, you got a job to do, and you know that, and you're going to grind it out independent of how many fans are there.
You do, but let's be honest. It's entertainment. It's mm-hmm. no different than if you're going to a concert at XL or Target Center, and there's 15,000 there. You know, you're going to listen to some great music, but they're entertainers. Professional athletes are entertainers. So you can go through with it. I don't know from a player standpoint, and again, I don't know, certainly, if you did it for 162 games, I wouldn't wish that upon anybody. I think we played 130 or whatever right around there, you know, in the minor leagues at that time. It was hard. It was no different when you went to Lakeland or anywhere else. It was the same type of crowds. You're basically playing
for scouts, huh?
Yeah, exactly. Or for yourself, you know, to kind of put some numbers up. But I think they're just putting it out there for hope. I thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, and it is a television product now. That's what television and radio is why it would be right. In play, you know.
But I mean, from a player standpoint, I mean, can you put them on a bus, even though you got to drive 50 miles from Mesa to Scottsdale or however far it is? I mean, are you going to put them all together on a bus? Are they all going to drive separate? Do they sit in the stands three seats apart? I think there's a lot of question marks that are going to come up with it. And then what if somebody does contract it? Does that shut everything down? Because, I don't know, it's unfortunate. It's going to be really, really bizarre. When was it? Was it 15 years ago? I mean, when we basically didn't have baseball and there's no World Series. And,
yeah.
And you know, that was different, but there's so many more things for folks to do. And if it's watching documentaries on TV, I'm not saying that everybody would like it. I'm sure they'd figure something else to do, but it would really, the summer's long. Summer it is. I mean, you think about baseball, 162 games. Nobody else comes close to that.
Right.
And you can entertain yourself every night of the week watching a baseball game nowadays if you've got, you know, cable access for it. So I'd like to say it's going to happen, but I'm a little bit more concerned about, I mean, so what's going to happen in Gaylord? Are they still the Islanders?
Still the Islanders, yep.
If the Islanders don't play, I mean, what is there to do in Gaylord on a Wednesday?
Well, I mean, and they're talking, as in Waseca yesterday with Tink Larson, he said they're talking about Legion Baseball maybe shutting down. I think it's a little early to pull the plug on it, but not from a fan standpoint. The kids that missed high school, I don't want to see them missing summer, too. And, God, I hope they at least hold out, even if they can only play in July, that they play a handful of games, you know?
Yeah, you're exactly right. But if you're going to do that, I mean, they've been shut down. My guys have been shut down for 3 weeks, and we practice more than any college baseball team does in Minnesota. We practice much more and play much more. So what they put in the fall and the games that we play and the two-a-days, I mean, we have two-a-day practices starting the middle of January up until we go down to Florida, just like Coach Maine had two-day football practice.
Even when you guys didn't know what we were practicing.
No, I mean, all that work that you put into it, and now, you know, it's been 3 weeks already. Who knows how much longer it's going to be until they play, but
that's my last question for you. If you were playing at the professional level and you were a starting pitcher like you were, how would you be trying to prepare for this? So if they flip the switch, you'd be ready to go. What would you be doing?
Well, pitchers should generally have, at least early on, an advantage over hitters, and you'll see that like in spring training. Mm-hmm. So it's just going to come down to conditioning and throwing. And here's the great thing about baseball. So if you're my catcher and I'm the pitcher and we want to go out and practice, are we complying with the social distancing distance standards?
Yep.
We're
60 feet
6 inches away, right?
Yeah.
We're not going to sanitize the ball, I think, every time we throw it or anything. And it's no different than if I'm throwing. So if Dave Lee and got in his car and I drove over to Eden Prairie and the three of us went out to a field and I threw batting practice to you, I'd be 60 feet 6 inches away. He can shag in the outfield. We can bring him in. We can switch. These players can continue to practice. And they can continue to hone their skills or at least, you know, stay in some type of shape if they're doing it. And it doesn't take a full team to do that either. And at the major league level, people can field, they can throw. We've had the fundamentals drilled into us. I don't think it would take more than a week to 8 days, you know, of just kind of getting people together. And you could go out and you'd have competitive baseball games.
Dana, appreciate it very much. Always good to talk to you, my friend.
You too, Mike.
Dana Kicker, nice stuff to join us. Former Boston Red Sox coaching, pitching coach now at Dakota Technical, and just an all-around good guy.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.